the question was asked. It says in the verse, "V'Yehuda shalach lefanav Goshna," that Yaakov sent down Yehuda first to the land of Goshen before he would descend there. And our sages say, as Rashi points out on that verse, that Yehuda was sent in advance in order to establish academies in Goshen. The Jews were going to live in Goshen, and so Yehuda established academy, a place of learning Torah there. So the question was asked, what would have been had they established the academies in Egypt? Wouldn't it have overpowered the Egyptians? Why did they do it in Goshen? So we have a few concepts in Jewish education. And this is a very important question that you're asking. It leads us to a very important, very, very important concept in Jewish education. Even though our responsibility is ultimately to shine a light outwardly, and even though our responsibility is that our Torah will shine forth, illuminate our people, and illuminate the world, but in order for that Torah to develop correctly, it must be developed in a pure atmosphere. And the purer, the better. You want something pure that will be able to overpower everything else? Well, then you need to develop it in purity. You don't say, let me build the Beis HaMikdash down in Egypt. You say, no, I will come into the land of Israel, 10 levels of holiness. I work my way up the 10 levels till the highest level, the Holy of Holies, in seclusion. And then when I have something very pure and holy, from there it can emanate and illuminate the world. We don't say the temple should be built in Egypt. No. The temple will illuminate Egypt. But when you want to develop something holy and correct, you seclude it and develop it correct. Afterwards, it can illuminate. And this, our sages say, was a great debate between Moshe Rabbeinu and Jethro. That when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to marry Yisro's daughter, Jethro said to Moshe, you and I both saw the world. You want to educate your kids? Expose them to the world. And Moshe said, no. The kids have to grow up with what's right. Afterwards, they can be exposed. But first, let them have everything right. Let's build them up correctly. And Yisro said, no. And they fought back and forth and back and forth. And finally, Yisro said, you can only marry my daughter if you give one of your children over to my way of education. One of your kids has to be educated that way, where they have a multicultural education together with Torah. And Moshe agreed. And our sages say, because Moshe agreed, his grandson was ultimately an idol worshiper. His own grandson. Meaning, you can be right, but that doesn't mean you expose your kids to everything. You want to educate, you seclude. You educate, you develop purity, you develop sensitivity. You develop everything that's right. And only then can you deal with all that's wrong. But if you're living in where, today there's a horrible thing going on. They call it rainbow education. A kid goes to day school at 4 or 5 years old here in Israel in the Dati Lumi system. A child will get a book with a child which tells the story of a boy that has two mothers. Instead of having a father and a mother, he has two mothers. So now this child is supposed to grow up with the concept that there are multiple norms in the world. Instead of saying, this is normal, grow up with this. Later on, you'll have to deal with the fact that there are other things in the world. No, from the start, we're going to eradicate the concept of normalcy. So that's a problem. That's not the way education should be. And this is very, very important. People sometimes think, I'm going to go somewhere and I'm going to help elevate the place. Well, you can elevate the place, but you have to ensure, we say this about the chuppah, that the chuppah is open and yet the couple goes into a cheder yichud. The chuppah is open because the couple should lighten up the world. But the couple's starting point, they go into an enclosed room because in order to lighten up the world, you have to have doors, you have to close it. Someone once said to me, but Avraham Avinu had a tent with four doors. I said, yes, but there were doors. It wasn't open on all four sides without doors. There were doors. There were four entrances, but you had to knock on the door. Otherwise, there's no tent. Otherwise, you're part of the desert. You want to bring up your kids, you have to have a home. After you have a home, your home can illuminate others. It's a very important point. When we first got married, we were married about 2 years, and my in-laws very much wanted us to be there for the Seder. And I said, I think that our responsibility to Klal Yisrael is to make our own Seder, where we can invite people from all walks of life, and people who don't yet know what Judaism is, and that's something very unique that we can do now. In a few years, we won't be able to do it. Because right now, we're at a point where it won't impact our kids. Well, we had a baby a year old. I said, that doesn't affect him. So we have about 7 years where we can have a Seder that's open to everyone. And after that, the only people who won't confuse my kids can come to the Seder. And I called Rav Nevinzel, and I asked him, what should I do? I know my in-laws want me, and I know they're not going to be comfortable. You know, their daughter-in-law, their daughter, 2 years into marriage, she's 2 or 3 years into marriage, she's not coming to them for the Seder. It's not nice. But I think I'm right. And he said to me, you're right. He said, you're right. And that's what happened. For about 7 years, we had an open-door policy. We had Jews for Jay. We had all kinds of people from all over who wanted to experience the Seder would come, and that was fine. You know, we had people coming with their cell phones to the Seder. They didn't mean to be disrespectful. We want to pour one guy the four cups, and he says, I can't drink. I'm driving home tonight. So that can go on at a Seder when your kids aren't there. I'm saying, but when the kids are there, it's like, huh? You want that to be their norm? Let them have a normal Seder. Bizrat Hashem, in 15, 20 years, I'll be able to go back to having an open-door policy. Unless they'll have grandchildren there. Whatever, we'll see. Maybe I'll tell the grandkids, go to your parents. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know yet. We'll see how to play that one. But I'm saying the importance of setting up a secluded place where you educate. And from there, you can give off light. So Yehuda had to set up the education system in Goshen. Now, that education system did what it could. But you see, it didn't overpower Egypt. Egypt overpowered the education. Yes?
Rabbi, I want to ask something that's related to what you say. Grandson Moshe being Levite for the house of Levi, right? Jonathan is his name. And in that pasuk, it's written that the men of God recognized, so he's described as a Levite from Bethlehem. The men of God recognized his voice. Why? How did they recognize his voice? So he went to Micha,